Tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Ben and Yael England. It was chusur for Shlema for Zachariah Kalman Ben Yael Margalit. Okay, tonight we're starting a new sugya, our third sugya of the summer, and so far our largest sugya of the summer. We've done Chalav Akum, Gvinas Akum. Tonight we start Pas Akum. Pas Akum is a different kind of limud in the sense that so far whenever we've been makel with something, it's been pretty much a kula. When you say something is not chalav akum, that means it's okay, usually. When something is not gvinas akum, so sometimes you have still concerns of chalav akum, but usually it means it's okay. By pas akum, there are two ways that something could not be pas akum. Pas akum, of course, just to get the basics down, is the gzeira that Chazal made at some point, and at what point is also a discussion in the Rishonim, but at some point Chazal made a gzeira that we're not allowed to eat bread baked by a non-Jew. The tricky part about Pas Akum is that it has a twin gzeira called Bishul Akum. And very often when you say that something is not Pas Akum, you're not really saving it. All you're really doing is saying that instead of being Pas Akum, it's now Bishul Akum. Because Pas Akum and Bishul Akum are essentially the same idea. Don't eat food prepared, cooked by a guy. Right? Pas Akum is just on bread. Bishul Akum is on pretty much everything else. So when we're going to say something is not Pas Akum, very often all we're doing is we're shoving it into the category of Bishul Akum, which is going to be at least as usher. And we're going to get into what the differences might be between Pas Akum and Bishul Akum. But just to be clear, there are two ways that something could not be Pas Akum. Something cannot be Pas Akum because it's not Pas, or it could not be Pas Akum because it's not Akum. Right? Pas Akum is combination of two words. It's bread baked by an akum. If it's not pas, and that's why it's not pas akum, it's really not considered bread, la lacha, then usually it's going to be a problem of bishul akum. Like, let's say, for instance, you're going to tell me that if I have cereal, let's say, it wouldn't be pas akum. Let's say, for whatever reason, you would hold cereal is not pas. But if it's not pas, it's definitely food, it's definitely prepared with heat, so l'chora, that should just put it into the category of Bishul Akum. On other occasions, you can say something's not Pas Akum, not because it's not Pas, it's very much bread, it's a loaf of bread. It's just not Akum, meaning it wasn't baked by an individual Gentile for me. It was baked by, and we'll get into the halachos of, a professional bakery, a corporation, something like that, where you can say it's not an Akum, and then it's going to be mutter. If we're going to be able to knock it out of the category of Akum, then it's going to be absolutely mutter. That's the basic idea, the basic background. Yeah?
One question, I think Mari doesn't throw out that problem, Bishul.
Well, the Mishnah puts them right near each other, or close enough, not exactly right near each other, which is also an issue. Right, the Mishnah puts Pas as number, what is it, number two on the list, right? It says Chalav, Nei Yisrael, Pas, Shemen, is number three, and then number four is Shlakos. Number four is Shlakos is Bishul.
Yeah.
Right? The fourth thing asked in the Mishnah is Bishul. Question is, what order is the Mishnah written in? Was Pas part of the Gezerah of Bishul Akum? Was it after the Gezerah of Bishul Akum? Before the Gezerah of Bishul Akum? And also, we'll have to figure out, is there enough Gemina, what order was written in? Meaning, this isn't a history class, so does it really matter what order it was written in? So sometimes, just to figure out what the rules are, it might matter what order it was written in. But yeah, the Gemara does not discuss the interplay, but it's assumed that if it's not bread and you're cooking it, so then it's probably Bishul. Yeah.
And is it only Chashash Shir Chassas, or is there more, just like we have by Gvina and by Chalav?
Ah, so good. So far in the Mishnah, we've seen other concerns besides for you might marry the daughter. By Pas, there's no other concern. It's not like nowadays where there are oils and different things mixed in. Nowadays, you need Ashkach on bread. Aside from the Pas Akum concern, you need Ashkach on bread more importantly because there are all sorts of things mixed in to the breads. But it's assumed that typical bread in standard place, and it's still like this in many countries, by the way, there are rabbis who will tell you that if you go to certain countries and buy just the bread that they sell in local stores, that it's absolutely kosher. They're just using flour and water, and you don't have to question anything beyond that. And their ovens are are used for bread. Again, not in every situation. You have to know what country you're going to and how seriously they take their bread. But in certain countries that may have breads named after the country, right, this kind of bread, so chances are they take their bread very seriously. And there might be reason to assume that if it's just a plain bread, that you might be allowed to buy it. But again, leaving out a Pasakum problem, of course. We'll have to see how we get around the Pasakum problem. In terms of ingredients, bread, for the Gemara's sake, bread is bread in terms of ingredients. It's important to know that that's no longer the case. Meaning, nowadays we have all sorts of problems with bread. We have problems of milchig bread, which milchig bread by definition is not kosher. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not allowed to have milchig bread. It used to be kashrus agencies would give a hashkacha on milchig bread and write dairy on the package and say, okay, so that's a hecker on the bread. No one's going to come to eat it. Until some famous Rosh Yeshiva had like a pastrami sandwich on his milchig bread, and then the kashrus organizations all stopped. For the most part, the ones that still do are the ones that aren't so reliable, usually, for the most part, that give the hashkachas on milchig bread. And also, there's oils and everything. I just was dealing with a Shaila last week. Someone called me up about a hashkacha that I thought was a good hashkacha. And I called a friend in the OU, a Rav in the OU, a mentor, and he said that absolutely not. I said, even for pizza dough, all they sell is pizza dough. He said, well, look at the ingredients on the pizza dough. It's not flour and water. If it was flour and water, people probably wouldn't be buying it. They can make it themselves. There's a lot more going into it than flour and water. But from the Gemara's sake, we're always assuming just basic, pashut, kosher ingredients. Question? No? Okay. Just intrigued by the pizza dough? You want to know which hashkacha it was? Not on tape. Can't say which hashkacha. I don't want to get sued. Okay. So let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara discusses Pasakum, and basically what I want to try to figure out over here is not just what the basic gezeira was, but was it ever rescinded? See, because the Mishnah told us that there was a gezeira against shemen also, that you're not allowed to use oil made by a non-Jew, and the Gemara says, but the Mishnah says, Rebbe Ubezdino Hitiru HaShemen, that Rebbe and his Beis Din got together and they were Matir Shemen Akum. They said, it's no problem anymore, you're allowed to use oil. The Gemara is going to explain, they were Matir Shemen because it was a Gzeira Shein Rov HaTzibur Yichon Lamubo. People said, we could do without the Goyim cooking for us, we could do without their bread, we can't do without their oil. Which may seem a little strange to us in the days of Teflon pans where you don't need oil that much, but back in the old days when they just had plain flat metal pans, you know, plain raw metal pans, every time they cooked something, if they didn't have oil, it stuck to the pan and it burnt and the food was destroyed. You couldn't cook without oil. So I say, look, I'll cook without the guy, I'll cook for myself. Pass, I'll make my own bread. But I can't cook, period, without oil. And I'm not going to grow my own orchard of olive, trees and start, and start making my own oil, open up an olive press. It's very difficult if you couldn't use oil. So Shemen Akum was a real problem. So they were Matir, the Gzeir of Shemen Akum. That's why you never heard of anyone being Choshesh for any such problem of Shemen that comes from a non-Jew. The question is, did they ever undo Pas Akum? Because we know of Pas Akum. Where do we know Pas Akum from? Where do we ever, we hear it once a year usually, the term Pas Akum. Aseret Yemeshuva. Everyone says, "Oh, be careful! Don't eat Pasakum." Right? Aseret Yemeshuva. You stay away from the antimins. You stay away. You try to be careful not to eat Pasakum. But why only during Aseret Yemeshuva? I mean, is there some major heter out there that we don't know about? So the Gemara already starts exploring whether they ever took away this gezeira. We know they made it. Did they ever take it away? So the Talmud Bavli on this issue is about as unclear as you could possibly be. The Gemara really doesn't read straight, line by line. The Rishonim point out, it just, the Gemara doesn't, well, let's read it. Let's see it together. Vapas. Take a look, four lines into the Gemara, at the two dots. Vapas. Amar Rav Kana, Rabbi Yochanan, pas lo hutra bebezdin. Pas, unlike Shemen, it only needs to be said, because Shemen is hutra bebezdin. Pas, they were never matir in bezdin. So says Gemara, whoa, you have to tell me they were never matir in bezdin. Mechal di kaman deshari. Makes it sound like someone thinks it's mutter. So is there someone that thinks it's mutter? So right away, the mechlal is a little bit shver, right? That why does that say that someone thinks? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is just making the point that as opposed to Shemen, Pas is different than Shemen. How do you know that it's Rabbi Yochanan as opposed to somebody else who holds that it's mutter? Who says someone else holds that it's mutter? Okay, the Gemara assumes someone else holds that Pas is mutter. So says Gemara, yeah, there is such a shita. In the Chiyas Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Pamachas Yatzar Rebbe Lasada. Rebbe, the guy who was Matir Shemen. He was going out in the field. Vehevi Ovid Kochavim Lefanav Pas Porni Ma'afasa'a. and someone brought him pasporni. What's pasporni? So Rashi says it's a type of oven. It's not nothing special. Someone brought him bread. That's the point. Someone brought him bread, a certain volume of bread. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, ah, kamina pasu. That is great bread you got there. Ma ra'u chacham li'osar. Why in the world would the rabbis make that usher? That is fantastic bread. I can't believe the rabbis made that usher. Now, right away, that line also. If you're saying it's great and it's beautiful and it's awesome and it's the most amazing bread you've ever seen, well, that's why the rabbis made it usher. Isn't that the whole point? They made it usher because you're going to like it so much, you're going to want to marry the guy's daughter. The bread must be really good if you say, this is so good, I want to marry your daughter, so you can always make me bread for the rest of my life. Right? It's a very... It seems like a far-fetched gezeira. We should talk about chasnas one day also in terms of what it means. Probably doesn't mean that you're going to eat the food and say, man, I need to have you as my father-in-law. Right? It's probably something more than that, about more of a general relationship type of thing than direct, I got to marry this guy's daughter. And as we'll see, all the poskim, for instance, say, let's say the guy doesn't have a daughter. Let's say the guy can't have a daughter. Let's say you have no interest in getting married. Whatever it is. I mean, you're on the post can talk about, you're on a boat in the military, and there's only men on the boat, and the guy bakes you pas, and there's no chance in the world. I mean, there's no daughter there. There's no daughter to be had. So, nevertheless, you're in outer space. It doesn't make a difference. The gzeira is still there. The gzeira is not about chasnas per se. We have to explain a little bit better what the gzeira is, but let's leave that aside for now. But that line right there, Rebbe says, that's amazing bread. Why would the rabbis ask for that bread? So the Rishonim already, the Achronim at least, are already bothered by that. That's a strange line in the Gemara also. So the Gemara doesn't pick on that, but picks on the obviousness of the answer. The Gemara says, how can you ask why would the rabbis ask for? We know why the rabbis ask for all these things. Ma ra'u chachamim mishum chasnos. What do you mean, what did the rabbis see? Of course, it was because of chasnos. They were afraid you're going to want to marry them. Ella, so what was Rebbe wondering? Ma ra'u chacham liyosra besadeh. Why would the chachamim ask for it in the fields? And why is a field different than anywhere else? So Rashi gives a pshat. The question is it the only pshat? So before looking at Rashi, which is always the better way to go about learning Gemara, what would be the pasha pshat before you look at Rashi? It's a better way of knowing when Rashi is giving you the pasha pshat and when he's adding a little twist. Yeah?
There's no women being intermingled with the fields.
So you say that there's no one there, that there's no one in the fields, you're all alone in the fields, and women don't go out in the fields. Called kavud bas melch pnima, something like that. Women aren't, when Leah goes out into the fields, she's called, or Dina goes out, she's yatsanis, pas yatsanis, right? That's not a normal thing for girls to be doing, to be running around in the field. Okay, maybe, yeah. So Rashi seems to say, achilas arai, right? Rashi says, or actually, Rashi might not be saying achilas arai. Well, let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Delek lemechash lemshuchei da'akray bi'almuhu." You're not worried that you're going to come to do this consistently because it's a one-time thing. These things don't happen frequently. Now, is that the same as achilas arai? What do you mean by achilas arai?
Quick on the road.
So is that what Rashi's saying? I mean, achilas arai could be a snack as opposed to a meal.
And he's in the field.
Right. Rashi doesn't seem to be saying that, right? You agree with me?
But he's excluding...
Rashi say, yeah?
You're saying Rashi could say a one-time set pseudo would still be...
Right. Rashi's saying this isn't going to be a repetitive event. Which, by the way, gives you a little insight into chasnas also. That it's not you're tasting the bread and you say, I need to marry the daughter. Again, it's that... You're tasting the bread and you're going to say, I'd like to have more bread. And then you're going to say, I'd like to have some food also, and maybe some wine. And once I'm having some wine, we should go out for some beer sometime, catch a game together. And that, you know, it's that the relationship's going to continue. But if it's the type of setting where it has to be limited to that one time, the way Rashi understands, that's what Basada should be. That's what the heter of Basada should be. So Rebbe says... Now, are there other possibilities of what the Heter Basada should be? Anything else? Yeah?
I mean, the fact you're saying that Rebbe went out to the field and they brought him, like, bread. With Avin Rashi, you could say, like, what's Rebbe doing out in the field?
Why would that be a Heter, just because he's out in the field? I mean, we're trying to say that Basada should be... I understand they could ask for it, but they have to ask for it out here? Right? What's that?
There's no other bread but that. That's all there is.
So the other way to look at Basada, and many Rishonim say this way, we'll get to them, is that Basada is about what's available. that when you're in the city, there are bakers, there are places to go. You can get bread. When you're out in the field, you're out on a camping trip somewhere, it's not easy to find food, right? It's not like today where you travel anywhere in America, you go into any major supermarket and you can find as much kosher food as you want, right? It's not like that. You're out in the field, you're in the middle of nowhere, it's not easy to find kosher food. So if the Rabbanim were going to make it usher, why did they have to make it so difficult? They have to make it usher even basada?
Maybe by chasar, everyone else sees, so it makes the whole matter more lenient as opposed to basada. There's not other people seeing the transaction.
Good, meaning that basada, it's more isolated. So since we're so isolated, it's not going to feel so like it's a big event. As opposed to when we're in a large group of people, maybe we'll feel more connected. Maybe, yeah?
Suppose we're already doing this, shouldn't we be able to just judge it on a subjective basis, case by case, saying, oh, in this case, maybe, for some reason, there should be a reason behind it that we would say it's usher, but there's this and this and this, so it should be mutter. Why, once we're already saying it's chasnas,
depends, which sheet are you asking? You're asking within Rashi? Within Rashi or within anybody else? I mean, within Rashi, this is the kind of situation the rabbis would not have asked, because it's not the kind of situation that's going to lead to this repeating itself. Which is very reasonable. So if you can come up with a situation, other situations that will not lend itself to a repetitive action, so then yeah,
not even necessarily a repetitive action, but something that you have to worry about chasnas, as in it can be, some other, just not even necessarily chasnas. But
you're right, and maybe we will. Maybe we'll say, you know what, we're not going to go so far as say, like I said before, the guy doesn't have a daughter, or his daughter's the ugliest person on earth, or anything like that. We're not going to go that far, because we assume chasnas is a little more broad than that. But let's say, I don't know the guy. Some random anonymous guy baked the bread. Someone brought it to me. I have no idea who baked it. I couldn't even find out. For example, you go to the store, and you buy a loaf of bread from, a packaged loaf of bread. Whatever the company, Arnold's bread. You have no idea which guy baked that bread for you. You couldn't find him if you wanted. And if you did find him, you'd get a restraining order. You're finding me, leave me alone. I just pushed the button, I get my $6 an hour and I'm happy. Right? So it's right? So the that might be true. We might say, yeah, when it's not Shaya Chasnus, we might say that.
I was saying, maybe even to go far as saying that it's not that Pas Akum is a blanket Isser, except for when we don't have to worry about Chasnas, and that's the exception to the rule. I'm saying that it's typically Mutter, except for certain cases with Chasnas, which is then Asr. And that's the way that I kind of understood the...
It's typically Mutter. I mean, it's hard to say that when you say there were Gozer on Pas.
But there were Gozer on Pas because of Chasnas. As in, it was specifically with that in mind. Meaning that now, once Chasnas no longer is in effect, it's Mutter again.
Okay, I mean, is Lemaynaf Kamina how you formulate that?
I haven't been able to find it.
Okay. Right. So, let's see as we go through the sugya. If you find one, then we'll find it out then.
One problem with everyone trying to recuse from this piece in the Gemara, the Gemara just says it's not actually happening.
Oh, good, good. So let's go back in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, who was Matir Pass? So the Gemara says, well, there was a story with the Rebbe where Rebbe said, I can't believe the rabbis made it usher. So Vaiter, who was Matir Pass? Rebbe said, I can't believe the rabbis made it usher, implying the rabbis made it usher. Kasvur nam hita Rebbe apas. So everyone thought, oh, Rebbe, when Rebbe was questioning why they said it's usher, it must be that he holds that it's mutter. Where do we have such a similar idea? Right? We saw in Tosos from the Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Rabbeinu Tam says, lo matzinu tam pasha le'isr b'gvinas ovid chavim. Rabbeinu Tam says, I can't believe that the Rabbanim made gvinas akum asr nowadays. So some of the Achronim said, Rabbeinu Tam was matir gvinas akum. Others said, no, he just said he can't believe that it's usher. So the Gemara says, well, the people thought that Rebbe was matir, the pas. Velohi. But that's not really true. Rebbe lohiter sapas, Rebbe was not matir pas. So bottom line is, we said, the implication is somebody was matir it. The Gemara says, oh, you don't want to know who's matir it? And then the Gemara did not give us anyone who's matir it. The Gemara seems to conclude, it certainly wasn't Rebbe. We don't know who was matir it, and it certainly wasn't Rebbe. Rav Yosef vitev Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar, lo kach yomaisa. That's not the way the story went down. It was as follows. Ela amru pamachas holach Rebbe l'makom echad, v'ra'a pas dachul k'letalmidim. Rebbe saw that there wasn't so much bread available. And the reason, every line in this Gemara is important l'halacha, even though it sounds like we're rejecting each line with the next line. Every line is critical l'halacha. The word basada is critical l'halacha. The words pas dachul k'letalmidim are critical l'halacha. that Rebbe went and he saw that they had no bread. Amar Rebbe, ein kan palter. Rebbe says, no baker here. And they say, well, what does Rebbe mean by that? So kesvurin ha'am lomar palter ovi kachavim. So everyone thought Rebbe was saying there was no non-Jewish baker who would then be able, if there were a non-Jewish baker, he would be able to give the Talmidim all the bread they need and they wouldn't be starving, and that would be great. And everyone would be happy. That's what everyone thought. No, that's not what Rebbe was saying. Rebbe was saying there's no Jewish baker here. But a non-Jewish baker wouldn't have helped because pas of a non-Jew is usher, even of a non-Jewish baker. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, afil man diomar palter ovid kochavim, lo arman el deleka palter Yisrael. Even if you can say a baker who's a non-Jew, you're allowed to eat his bread, that's only if there's no Jewish baker there. Why is that line troubling? What does afilu leman diyamar, the words leman diyamar, imply? That there is somebody that says it. So far the Gemara just proved nobody says it. The Gemara says, oh, even the opinion that holds you're allowed to have a baker's bread, that's only if there's no Jewish baker, then you can have a non-Jewish. But who's the opinion that said that? Rebbe saw a starving Talmidim, apparently, and he said, even if there was a non-Jewish baker here, it wouldn't do us any good because we need a Jewish baker in order to be able to eat anything. Okay, so I realize I'm just asking questions, not giving answers. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afil madim paltar ovid kochavim, even the opinion that holds a non-Jewish baker is good, hani mil besada avol beirlo. That's only in the field, but not in the city. Ooh, so now there's an opinion that holds a non-Jewish baker is good. We haven't found it, but apparently there's an opinion that holds a non-Jewish baker is okay, and the non-Jewish baker is either going to be okay if there's no Jew available, or if it's out in the field. Good? Yishum chasnos. In the city you can't because there's still a concern of chasnos. Ivo, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He doesn't come up so often in Shas. Have a manchis v'achl pasa be'mitzri. Right? What's manchis? So Zan pointed out to me. Manchis, no sheikh, Rashi says. I didn't realize that. I didn't look at Rashi. Right? Means he bit. I don't know what that means, that he, obviously, if you bite, you eat to bite. I don't know what the Gemara is adding with that. So he was eating some bread. He was, by the way, the father of the Amora Rav. So this is no slouch. This is someone who probably, Mistama, could have had a lot to contribute to Rabbinic Judaism, to Torah Judaism. But for this story, he was eating bread of a non-Jewish baker. And says the Gemara, and where was he? At Bei Mitzri. What does a Bei Mitzri mean? Why does the Gemara have to tell me where he was? So what did we say? We said there might be a chiluk between the field and not the field. Bei Mitzri implies in between? Not sure, right? It could imply the fields or it could imply somewhere in between. At least somewhere that's debatable whether it's a field or not. Right? What does Rashi say? Besados Eitzel HaMitzrim, right? Okay, Eitzel HaMitzarim, by the boundaries of the fields, right? I did see others that say that it's Besafek. We'll have to, I think maybe the Ran, we'll take a look. 1 second. So Amar Luhu Rava, so Rava says, Vitem Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lo Tishtau, Girsa, Lo Tishtau Minei Di'ibo, Dekach Lachme Darmai. You can't Tishtau. So what does that mean? So they changed the girsa, either Bahadei Dibo or Minei. You can't learn with him, from him, something like that, because he eats non-Jewish bread. So what was he doing? He was in the field, eating non-Jewish bread of a palter. We just said in the Gemara that there's an unidentified opinion that holds that smuter. Right? There's a mandiyamar that palter is okay. We haven't identified that mandiyamar, but we know it exists. And all he did was follow that mandiyamar. And we're saying, oh, don't deal with that guy in learning. And Mistama, that's why he was erased from all the Shas. We don't have him anywhere.
Why couldn't he have been that Mami Omar? Why couldn't it have been him? And they say, because he says that, there's no way that's true.
That he was outvoted because he said something so unusual. Yeah. It could be. Maybe. Yeah. And maybe that's the riot. The Gemara quotes that story that you see, he only did it when he was out in the field. So you see that even the guy who holds Paltar over Chavim is okay, would only do it out in the field. Maybe, yeah.
How do we know that he was eating palter bread?
What?
How do we know he was eating palter bread? Maybe he was eating
Levi's
bread.
What does it say? Does it say palter? Doesn't say? Magzachel pas abe mitzri. Ah, okay. You're right. So maybe the problem was that it wasn't palter bread. Okay, good. Yeah.
Two things. One is just that I would assume that since nobody says that that's mutter, then I don't think that that would be a story that the Gemara would bring up, because anybody that would do that would just obviously be usher, and I guess they would.
Meaning, the father of Rav, who they apparently respected before this story, must have had some rational explanation as to why he did this. So, if there's no heter whatsoever for what he's doing, you have to say it was palter bread, otherwise there's no heter, and we can't say there was no heter. It's a delicate balance. Because you can't say there was no heter, but you can't say there was too good of a heter either. Because if the heter was too good, then they really overreacted and, you know, wrote him off a little too quickly. Right? So you have to say something that he had some sort of explanation, but... So, I mean, the Rishonim and Achronim discussed this issue. Maybe it was suffek whether it was... whether it was kosher bread, whether it was suffek, whether he was in the field or not, and he was relying on suffek drabon lekula or something like that. So they work on this. They work on this problem. Most fundamentally, you get through this Gemara. Did the Rabbanon retract the din of Pas Akum at the end of this Gemara? They seem to not only not retract the din of Pas Akum, but to make a strong stand against somebody who wanted to cut corners with Pas Akum. And we don't want to learn by a guy who wants to cut corners with Pas Akum anymore. So they didn't retract it, they even went stronger in Pas Akum. That's what you would get from this Gemara. Good? It's not the only Gemara in Talmud Bavli, though, that discusses this. If you take a look at the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, right? So the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph records a conversation. Where is it? It's just after the lines get wide. No? Yeah, right around there. Just before the lines get wide. Let's go. Mistamach. That sixth line on the page. Mistamach was Rabbi Yudin Siya Kasi Rabbi Simlai Shamei. So Rabbi Yudin Siya was riding on the shoulders of Rabbi Simlai, his schlepper, his shamish. Amalei Simlai Lo Yisa Emesh Beis Hamedrash. So he says to him, Simlai, you missed the shir yesterday. Kishi Itarnu Es Hashemen. When we were matir the Shemen. So first of all, that statement alone is meaningful. Why does the Gemara tell us that he had to tell him, you missed the big shir when we were matir the Shemen? Implication is that it was a big deal when they were, well, Shemen not pass, that we got from the Mishnah, but also, we'll see where pass comes in this Gemara, but it was a big deal that they were matir Shemen. They didn't just, you know, get rid of Gezeris Kalachaya, just like, you know, push away Gezeris. They were matir Shemen, that's something. So you weren't there when we were matir the Shemen. Amar lo, so he said, V'yomenu tatir afas apas. Go rabbis, you were matir the Shemen, you should be zocha to be matir pas akum also. Should be fantastic. Amar lo, im kein karulon beiz dina sharia. So Rabbi said, you know, I'd love to, but Rabbi Yudin Nasiya is not Rabbi. It's Rabbi Yudin Nasiya. It's interesting. Rabbi Yudin Nasiya, the Ron points this out, all the Rishonim pointed out. Rabbi Yudin Nasiya means Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. It's just the Aramaic way to say Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. But he was the, what is it, grandson or great-grandson? Grandson.
The Bach changes it around in the previous Mishnah.
To Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was Matir the Shemen. Because it makes sense in the story if he says, yesterday we were Matir the Shemen, and the Mishnah says Rebbe. Right, so they have to conform. But they both had the same name. They differentiate them by calling one of them Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the other one Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So Rebbe's time is always Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, right, is the grandson. So anyway, so he says, you should be Zochel Matir the Pas. And what is it? What's his response? His response isn't, Chas V'Sholom, I'm not going to be Matir the Pas. What's his response? I can't do it. Which leaves it wide open. He says, I can't do it, because then everyone's going to make fun of me that we're a basin that just throws away kulas. You know, there was a certain rabbi that used to be called the great Rav Hamatir. Anytime you wanted a kula, you go to the great Rav Hamatir. He's matir everything. So it became a big bizayin. So he says, I can't do it. It would be a big bizayin to do it. There are halachos of it. There's svarim written on how to paskin halachos. It's a halach in your day about this, that you're not allowed to paskin something that people are going to say, a kula, even if you believe it's 100% correct, that people are going to say, that sounds too lenient. That sounds a little crazy. So you're not supposed to say such a kula if you think that people aren't gonna buy into it. Like you think that you say a kula, everyone's eager to have kulas. It's not always the case. Not always the case that people are so eager to have kulas. Sometimes they were brought up a certain way, it's the way it should be, it's the way the community standards always were. So even though it's not lahalacha, you have to be careful. So, but the point is, he left it wide open for someone else to be matir. It made it sound like it's a revocable gezeira, at least. So the first gemara we had said, someone held the gezeira was at least partially revoked, but the gemara itself strongly rejected that possibility. Over here, the gemara is saying, the gezeira is revocable. We just don't know who did it, or if anybody did it. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya didn't do it, but it is a revocable gezeira. Good? That's the other Gemara. That's the Gemara on Lamed Zayin with Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So that's the Talmud Bavli. The Yerushalmi gives a totally different picture of what really happened. The Yerushalmi, I don't know Yerushalmis, Tosos quotes, right? Tosos quotes from Yerushalmi that in fact they were Matir Pasakum. And Tosfos, where is it? Yeah, Yerushalmi depirkin uperakam de Shabbos. Right. Take a look at the beginning of Tosfos. Says Tosfos, midkamer paslo hutra bebezdin mechal di ibayi havasharile. Even Tosfos finds the silver lining within our Gemara, which we just saw in Lamed Zayin. From the fact that the Gemara says that they weren't matir pas implies that it's a discussion, that there's room to be matir pas. We discussed those gzeras that are revocable, that are not revocable. Pas apparently is a revocable gzera. Tosfos says you see it already in this Gemara. From the fact that the Gemara even discusses whether they ever revoked it or not implies that it had the ability to be revoked. Now, what would give a gzera the ability to be revoked? How could the Chachad make a gzera that anyone could just come along and revoke? So Tosfos says, Alma lo pashati suro. It must have been something they made a gzera and it never became popular. The iser never became widespread. Umikan samchu ato lechel pasha lovi kuchavim. That's probably the most unsung but important line in Tosfos, because you see what's driving Tosfos. You see, very often when Rishonim had to explain things based on the sugya, they also had to take into account what was Minag Yisrael. And in determining Pesach Halacha, Minag Yisrael makes a big difference. And Tosfos says, well, where I live, everyone eats it. So I can learn the sugya backwards and forwards. If I don't come out with a heter, I'm in big trouble because everyone eats it. There must be something. Someone must have said at some point it was mutter, because everybody eats it. God-fearing Jews do it. Kivin shelo pashat yisurah b'kol Yisrael. So he says, so that's why. Since it was never widespread, it was never accepted, so mela became acceptable. You didn't have to worry about pasakum. Yesh lismo chal divir reshbag v'blaz v'rot tzadik ta'amri ein gozen gzeira ala tzibra alam kein rova tzibri chal lamabo. Now remember what we discussed last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. What does that line mean? You can't make a gzeira on the tzibur unless the tzibur is able to be omeid bo. So we discussed a similar line. But the point is, there are two ways to understand ein gozrim gzeira. You can understand that they're not authorized to make the gzeira, or that, meaning that they wouldn't make the gzeira, or they're not authorized to make the gzeira. Ein gozrim gzeira, Tosfos clearly assumes, they're unauthorized. It's an invalid gzeira. They're not allowed to step beyond their limits. And for the Rabbanan to make such a gezeira, it's totally invalid. So Tosfos seems to be saying something much bigger now. Not only is it a revocable gezeira, it's more than a revocable gezeira. The gezeira meyikara was invalid. Because once it's proven that ein rov tzibur chon lamabo, there never was a gezeira. Va'od raya, da'am l'kaman v'yimeinu tati arfas apas, v'lo miniach lati ol mishum dava korle bezen sharya. Va'achrav bo bezin achar shitiruhu. Tosfos adds in that part of the Gemara. Some other bezin came in, and obviously was matirit. Va'o da'amir Yerushalmi d'pirkin perakam d'shabbos pas amdu alav v'tiruhu. And the Yerushalmi says, yeah, Yerushalmi records, there was such a bezin. Let's leave Tosfos there right now. Now the difficulty with Tosfos, of course, is he keeps saying that some bezin was matirit, but his whole svara for why a bezin was matirit is to explain that it's a gzeira that never even needed anyone to be matirit. Meaning, mimamashach, we have a rule. When the chacham make a gzeira, you're not allowed to mivatel gzeira unless you have a bezin that's gadol mimenu b'chachma b'minyin. You need a greater bezin to come along to be mivatel the original gzeira. Can't be mivatel the gzeira short of that. They didn't have that. Whoever was matirit wasn't greater than the original bezin. So, mimanafshach. Either there was no gzera to begin with, and you don't even need a beis din. But if you need a beis din, you certainly didn't have a beis din that was authorized to uproot it. Beis din could not have played any role in uprooting this gzera. That's the problem with Tosfos. Tosfos says, we're no longer worried about pasakum because a beis din was matirit. How's a beis din allowed to be matirit? No one ever accepted the Isser. Well, if no one ever accepted the Isser, you don't need a basin to be Matar. It's Mutar anyway. So this is something other Rishonim struggle with as well, and we'll see in a moment. Yeah, thoughts, questions?
Can you say that Ein Gozer Gezerah also means that you're not Gozer, but once you're Gozer, it's actually there.
And it's there, but now revocable.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say that. We'll see. We'll see if Rishonim say that.
I'm saying Tosfos is the first answer either, because according to Tosfos' first answer, how does he go with everyone that said it? It's so crazy.
What do you mean?
Tosfos' first answer was that since it wasn't widespread, it was okay, right? So then how does he understand why they were so harsh on evil?
Right. How does he explain our Gemara? Exactly. Meaning Tosfos seems to be assuming that it wasn't widespread, but the Gzer was still intact for a while, so much so that they got all upset at Ivo, whatever. They got so upset at him, so the Gzer was intact for a while. But some Beis Din at some point, recorded in the Yerushalmi, came along and got rid of the Gzer. It's a very difficult Tosfos to understand, because if it was never poshet, it was never nispashet Barov Yisrael, it was never widely accepted, you shouldn't need a Beis Din. And the Lashon Ein Gozer Gzeira Al Tzibur doesn't make it sound like that. It makes it sound like that it's beyond their jurisdiction. They're not allowed to do it.
You're not Gozer Gzeira, but if they are Gozer, it means it's implying that you don't make a Gzeira, but once one's made, it's made.
Right. Okay, I hear you, Mahalik. Yeah?
It's possible to say that he's only saying this line that you can't make Gzera. Let's say they made a Gzera, and then later on they realize that people, they really can't hold to this anymore. Would that line still apply? That you can't, would the Gzera be bottled because of that reason? Meaning, if we were to make the Gzera now, today, and then people can't hold to this, so now we're going to make it. If the Chum were around today and they were making the Gzera today, they wouldn't make it at all.
Right. Once it's in Spashet B'Kol Yisrael, if at some later point it's saying Rav Tzibri Chol Nam Abo.
Yeah.
So you're saying, the thing is, Tosfos doesn't seem to say that, because he says, Alma lo pashat isuro, that makes it sound like it was never poshet isuro, that the isur was never widely accepted, and usually the assumption is that if it was poshet isuro, then it becomes exera, then it becomes intact, you know, because there's no reason why they could and we couldn't, you know, if they were able to withstand it, we should be able to withstand it.
And what about the Gemara Gil says that a beis din can't bottle the rule of another beis din.
Elim kein gadol member of half a minion. Yeah, that's exactly the problem. So it's also saying, yeah, they're not being bottled. I mean, the original gzeira was invalid. So it's also saying, yeah.
Maybe you could say that, like, an unstated rule when they make a gzeira is that if later on they see that it's not going to be able to, people can't hold for this, then another beis din can come.
So we discussed before you were here that there were two types of gzeiros that beis din made. Sometimes they made a gzeira where they included the reason for the gzeira in the gzeira, and they didn't include that caveat that if it's too difficult, you don't have to do it anymore. But when they include the reason of the gzeira in the gzeira, it usually includes the idea that if the reason doesn't apply, then you don't have to do it anymore. And some gzeiros they just made stam, without telling you the reason, in the lashon of the gzeira, in which case, no matter what reasons you think there are, and as much as you think they don't apply, you still have to keep the gzeira. I don't know of anywhere that it says that if once it's already nispashet, that if it then becomes not nispashet, or too difficult, that we're then going to withdraw it. I'm not sure. Yeah.
If it's a gzeira, it's a yachalambo. Who decides if it's a yachalambo?
Probably the tzibur.
The tzibur.
I think that's what he's saying. That so, it was not nispashet because people couldn't do it.
Is it illogical to say that it is beis din, or that, you know, if you know, Chazal made a gzeira however long ago, and today it's enough
alone. So you're saying since Chazal, when they made the gzeira, they weren't only making it for their times; they were making it for all times.
Right.
So they're making it on the tzibur of all generations.
Beis din represents the tzibur.
Yeah, you have to look in the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim. Yeah, we don't have a Rambam here, but if you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim, I don't think he says that way. I think I have to learn Harios a little bit. But you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim, I'm pretty sure once it's in Spashet, in that
it just, in the
then it sticks. Yeah. We'll take a look. Believe me, before tomorrow's shiur, we'll take a look and see if it's there. Yerushalmi also quotes another opinion that it wasn't totally rescinded, that the gzera was partially rescinded, and this is quoted by the Torah also. I'm coming sort of a little messed up in terms of the seder over here. The Torah in source number 5 writes, Adon Yovi Arashzal, in chiluk bein pashal balabayish lishal palter. There's no difference between homemade bread and bakery made bread. Aval ktsas me'amachab m'chilku bein shal balabayish shal palter. It's a little shay chasnus el b'shal balabayish. But some people were makel with bakery made bread, because you're not going to come to marry anyone other than an individual who makes your bread, not a baker. Hilka chasru b'kolim chutz mi b'makom sakana. Aval shal palter ein kan kol kach kiruv das. Shabu umnaso hu osek. V'chein mechalek b'Yerushalmi. Shematil liknos bin palter shal of the galilim b'makom shein palter shal matzui. So he quotes, Torah quotes, the second day in the Yerushalmi. Not the day. It's, if you look in the Yerushalmi, there are 2 days in the Yerushalmi. So he quotes the second day in the Yerushalmi, not that they totally uprooted it, but that they partially uprooted it. That the gzeru was uprooted to the extent that pas akum is still usser, that's only from an individual. But pas of a palter, of a baker, is going to be mutter. So to that extent, the gzeru was rescinded. Yeah?
Do you think that it's uprooted or was never instituted?
You're right. The way the Torah quotes it is that it was never instituted. The way the Torah quotes it is never instituted. We've got to look back in the Yerushalmi and see what the original source says. Yeah.
Well, I assume it's the second opinion from the Yerushalmi.
Because Tosfos just quoted an opinion that they got rid of the whole gzeira.
They got rid of all of it, or just the gzeira? They couldn't hold to it. What could they hold? They couldn't hold the bakeries. The stam ba'avos, they could stay away from.
But does Tosfos say that?
He did not. I'm saying he doesn't. Not say.
That's too big of a detail to leave out. Tosfos never discusses palter. He just says pasakum is something we're not knowing anymore.
They weren't even said though that according to Mandel that was matir, it was only with the pasuk.
The Bavli says that.
But that's what Tosfos is going on. He's going on the fact that it must be that
he's going before that. Mechal dika man deshari, and Tosfos says, oh, dika man deshari. Yeah. There's a man deshari, and then
I'm saying the gun.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I read Tosfos. Yeah, I think so. Makes sound like the whole gzera. I think that chiluk is an important chiluk between that I didn't notice before, that the chiluk between palter and not palter is what the gzera was, whereas the chiluk of the Tosfos is making is that forget about what the gzera was. We don't care what the gzera was. The gzera is gone. The gzera doesn't matter anymore. So it seems pashtus that there's multiple deos in the Yerushalmi. Our sugya in the Bavli is strangely ambiguous. The Ritva deals with the problem that nobody was ever actually lenient in our Gemara, right? The Ritva actually has 3 approaches to the problem, or 2 approaches. The Ran has a 3rd approach to the problem that the Gemara says, oh, Mechal Ikaman Deshari, it sounds like somebody's lenient. And the Gemara says, somebody's lenient. Then it quotes this whole Gemara about where nobody's ever lenient, right? So if you look at the Ritva, source number 6, Ikal Mei Daktuva, Heichuch Muchach Mehani Uvdi Dikaman Deshari. The Gemara is trying to prove that there's someone that was lenient, and then quotes a bunch of stories where nobody was lenient. So how do you prove anything? Shein Kan El Mashaya Am Toim Sovereign V'Divrei Rebbe. The best you got in terms of leniency from our Gemara is that someone made a mistake and thought Rebbe held that it was Mutter. It's the best you come up with. You don't have anyone that really holds Mutter. V'Oda Rea Talmud Sovach V'Omer V'Lowi. And the Gemara screams, no, it's not true. Lo yiter Rebbe Esapas. V'yesha pirish mechal dikaman desavar deshar yu abezdin. V'amai in dechiasa. He says, some have a different explanation. That what? And he explains in more detail. That in lanu shum heter b'pashal gaim lo b'divar Rebbe Chalbov lo b'divar Rebbe Yochanan. In neither of these accounts of the story of whatever happened with Rebbe, with this whole story of Rebbe going out somewhere and saying something about bread, Rebbe was never matir. Ki kol divrei b'mashas sovrna amlomar. Everything they're talking about is what the people thought. V'zeu das harama levizal. V'dacha gam ken Yerushalmi shehevi Rabbeinu Alfasi zal v'omer shu cholik al gemar shalanu. And he says, in fact, in the Talmud Bavli, no one was matir. The in is not going on someone, yes, being matir, it's going on the Gemara statement that ika man de sabar, that someone thought that somebody was matir. Gemara says, someone thought somebody was matir? Yeah, someone made that mistake once. It was these guys who thought Rebbe was matir, but it was a mistake. So the Ritva's first explanation of the Gemara is that our Gemara is very clearly on the negative side, that we're never matir pas, and there is no legitimate shita that's matir pas. He has to change the girsa a little bit, right? Instead of mechal de ikaman de shari, he changes it mechal de ikaman de savar de shari. He has to throw in the word de savar to make it that only to say that there is someone that held this side. It's reminiscent a little bit of the Mishnah in Idios, where the Mishnah says, you know, why do we even mention the outvoted shita? Mishnah asks the kasha, when you have a machlokas, Beisham and Beisilil, why do we have to mention Beisham? We know we don't paskin that way. We got it. Even though the Mishnayos and Idios have cases after cases, right? It has a whole parak about the cases where Beisilil was chosen to be molded to Beisham. But typically, we know we don't paskin that way. So why even mention those opinions? Right? So there's a concept of Eilevel Devreil Kim Chayim, that learning those opinions is Talmud Torah also. But the Mishnah says that we mention those opinions because one day someone's going to come along and say, I thought of a great chap. You know, that sheet of Basilo, it's wrong, because I thought of a great chap, a different point of view. That also makes tons of sense. And we're going to be able to say to the person, you didn't invent the wheel over here. Someone thought of the chap before you, and it's been outvoted. It's not that the rabbis of the Mishnah didn't know about your chap. They knew about it. We have it on record. They thought about it, and it's been outvoted. So all the Gemara is trying to do over here is say, look, someone made this mistake already. It's been outvoted. Let's not make this mistake again. In which case, you have a major machlokas bavli Yerushalmi. Now, if that's how Tosos understood the Gemara, that the bavli were saying that it would... Now, it's clearly not how Tosos understood the Gemara. Tosos clearly understood the Gemara that from the fact that we're even having this discussion, it was never nispashet, the gzir was never valid. But if you want to understand the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying, nobody holds its mutter. Everyone holds Pas Akam is really a problem in Talmud Bavli. And it's only in Talmud Yerushalmi that they were matirit. So in general, you have Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. It's very clear what we do in Halacha. Right? I think it's a riff at the end of Erevin. So you have Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi that we always paskin like the Bavli. The riff is historically questionable because the riff says that we paskin like the Bavli because of the rule of Hilchsa Kibasra'a, that you always paskin like the later opinion. You don't always paskin like the later opinion. It's at a certain point we started paskining like the later opinion. It used to be a rule of Ein Halacha K'talmud B'Makom HaRav that we paskin like the earlier opinion. But then at some point in the generations of Amoraim, they decided we're going to paskin like the later opinion because we have enough information that we know everything the earlier opinion said, and we're not as great as the earlier guys, but we can develop an opinion building off of whatever it is that they said. So the Rif says, yeah, Hilchsa Kibasra, the Talmud Bavli came after you, Talmud Yerushalmi. They knew everything it said in Yerushalmi, and they still said whatever they said. So Hilchsa Kibasra, we paskin like the Talmud Bavli. Hilchsa Kibasra only works if they actually knew what it said in Yerushalmi. It's not going to work historically. It's not going to work that even if they did come a little bit later, if they didn't know everything it said in Yerushalmi, then it's not going to. Then you wouldn't apply Hilchsa Kibasra. Hilchsa Kibasra assumes that they knew everything that came before them. So historically, it's a little bit difficult to assume, to understand what the Rif is talking about. Because we're pretty sure that the Amoraim of the Talmud Bavli did not know everything that it said in the Talmud Yerushalmi. They were studying in Bavel. Yerushalmi was being learned in Eretz Yisrael. It was pretty much simultaneous. It was very close in history. So very difficult to understand how you can apply Hilchsa Kibasra to Bavli against Yerushalmi. But for whatever reason, the Netziv in his Hakdama to the She'iltos, the Netziv wrote a ton of svarim, but one of the more famous svarim that he wrote is his Perush on the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon, and no one ever really learned the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon until the Netziv wrote a Perush on it. The only way to understand the Netziv is you got to read the Shiltos. People started reading the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon. So the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon he published in three volumes, and to each volume he wrote like a 20-page hakdama to each volume of his commentary on the Shiltos. So now we have it all in one set, and they put all three hakdamas together. So you have like 60 pages of Hakdama to the Shiltos Rav Chaigon. So the Netziv has a different mahalich as to why we paskin like Bavli against Yerushalmi. He thinks it's a stylistic thing. He thinks that the Yerushalmi was clearly done with more on the Siyata Deshmaya side, less on the Amelus side. The Yerushalmi, if you ever open a page of Yerushalmi, it looks very different than a page of Bavli. Not just because it doesn't have Rashi Tosfos. You open a page of Yerushalmi, you'll see Mishnah, paragraph of Gemara, Mishnah. Little paragraph of Gemara, Mishnah. You open up Bavli and you're like, where's the next Mishnah already? Right? It goes sometimes pages and pages and pages, that next Mishnah. And Siv thinks that that's part of the style of the learning in Bavel, was with much more amelus. They didn't have the siyata d'shmaya to rely on, it was much more amelus. And we paskin like the amelus. We paskin like the, if you want to look up, and Siv's got to be close to the beginning, because I don't think I ever got through further than close to the beginning of the 60 pages of Hakdama that he has. So it's got to be somewhere close to the beginning of his Hakdama to the Shiltos. But anyway, according to the first day on the Ritva, it's Pashut Machlokas Bavli Yushalmi, that the Bavli says there's no room ever to be Mekel on Pasakum. Yushalmi says, yes, they did undo it. Now, if you look weiter, look at the second paragraph in the Ritva. He says, V'anachon be'enai, ki b'yimei hamuroyim nogu heter b'fas paltar shogayim, that in the days of the Amoraim, they were noe keter in eating the bakery bread. He says, that's what we're saying. Beisdin never was really matarit. Later generations had to be matarit because people were starving. Bottom line is, the real reason they were matarit, says the Ritva, is that they were starving. They needed to be matarit. But they didn't want to say that they didn't want to tell people, we'll save your life, bedochak. You know, you can eat bread instead of dying, bedochak, you know, it's really an isser. So they would always say, yeah, there was some beis din at some point that was matarit. And the Gemara says, what Bezin are they talking about? It's the mistaken Talmidim of Rebbe. That's the Bezin that they were talking about. But there was some Bezin somewhere along the way that was matarit, that was mistaken, that was wrong. There was never really such a Bezin. But the real heter was because of Chayin Nefesh. The real heter was because that there was nothing to eat. So now he starts going like Tosos, that the Gezerah of Pas itself was Gezerah Shein Rav HaTzibur Yichol Lamud Ba. But then he adds in a little bit more than Tosfos says. What the Ritva changes, Tosfos says Gezerah Shein Rav HaTzibur Yichol Lamud Ba, and our problem with that was, it's very nice, but then it never should have been Aser. We shouldn't even need a Beis Din to come and be Matarit. So the Ritva goes on to say, it's Gezerah Shein Rav HaTzibur Yichol Lamud Ba, but they didn't want to disrespect the original Beis Din. To go back to the original Beis Din and say, you guys didn't know what you were doing, because obviously the Tzibur couldn't handle it, and make it that the original Beis Din was absolutely worthless, that's disrespectful. So as a way of not disrespecting the original Beis Din, they waited till another Beis Din came along and was Matirid. Or they forced it on another Beis Din to come and be Matirid. Another Beis Din's not authorized to be Matir? Yeah, but it didn't really need to be Matir anyway, because it was never in the Spashi B'Kol Yisrael. But just to make it a little more respectful, to make it sound a little more decent, they got another Beis Din involved to be Matirit. So it was like a game almost. Really, the Gezerah never existed. Out of respect, we pretended it existed until a pretend Beis Din came along and it was Mevatel, then we no longer had to pretend it existed anymore.
How do you explain the Gezerah's problem being Matirit? If it wasn't Hashem, no one did it anyway.
Right, no, but I think that conversation fits in nicely, because both Rabbi Din and Rav Simlai agree this, someone should be matir this, because this doesn't, you know, according to this Ritva, meaning we don't want to disrespect the Beis Din, so get some Beis Din to come along and say that it's okay now. Problem is, I can't do it, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, because then everyone's going to make fun of me that, you know, I'm the most mekel guy and no one's going to want to marry my kids because I'm too modern a rabbi.
If no one's doing it anyway, then why would we have that problem?
What? No, but if you're known as the Beis Din, like, what are you famous for? And we do find that Rabbi Nasi's Beis Din was famous for being Matir Shemen. So that's not what you want to be known as. You don't want to be known as the great Mekel. You know, you want to be known as someone who has balanced approach, unique approach to everything, right? You don't want to be known as the great Mekelim. That's what the Gemara throughout Shas refers to them as the Beidina Deshara Mishcha. The Gemara over here quotes it also. They're the Beis Din that was Matir the oil. That's like stamped on him forever. So he says, I don't need Beidina Deshar Mishcha Vipita. No.
Yeah, but according to Tosos, the whole pass wouldn't be something that was recognized as famous. As a famous school. Saying if you were Matir pass.
That still would have been. I mean, the point is, it was never widely accepted, so someone had to be Matir, but they just said, we don't want it to be us.
Don't both Tosos and Ritva not fit in with our Gemara? Because according to the Gemara, it's clear that everyone said it was us.
Well, Tosfos is saying, from the fact that the Gemara is even having the discussion, implies that someone held that it was an Aser. The Gemara never identified who it is. Now, again, I'm being a little biased when I tell you no one said it's Aser, but if you look in the Gemara, when we first read it, first the Gemara says it was just a bunch of mistaken Talmidim of Rebbe, but then the Gemara starts making a bunch of qualifying statements. Oh, the guy that holds that it's Mutter would hold only in this situation, only in that situation. But we didn't identify anybody that holds that it's Mutter, so there must have been somebody. They're arguing with it. They start making qualifications within mistaken Talmidim. People who just got it wrong. There must have been somebody. So the Gemara itself is ambiguous. You can go both ways in terms of the Gemara. Right? You're right. Certain lines of the Gemara make it sound like it's really problematic, but other lines of the Gemara make it sound like somebody was Matirit. The Gemara didn't like whoever it was, but somebody was Matirit.
So according to the opinion that it was just a respect issue, but it was really mutter the whole time. So we still haven't really explained Evo and how strict we were with Evo and why.
Right, that would be a different opinion in the Gemara. That would be the opinion that says that we can't be Matirit. But we're going to assume that there's another opinion that holds you can be Matirit, and that's the opinion we want to pass him like. That's how Tosfos is going to say.
Can we even say that maybe Lo Tishto with Evo because he wasn't respectful, he did it in public or something like that?
Right, the Achronim all talk about that he had a Heter. Of course he had a Heter. He just... what's he taking advantage of a Terim for? Come on, be a big rabbi and take on extra chumras. You shouldn't take advantage in such a way of a Terim. And everyone finds out about it. Not so good. All right, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, I'm not saying Shir, I have a wedding tomorrow night, so I apologize about that. Wednesday night, tonight we will have 10-minute halacha after Maariv. Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, Bez Hashem will get further in the sugya. I'll hopefully be a little more prepared.
It's high, isn't it high nefesh? How is it?